Hi, the following program is an encore presentation in loving memory of our co-founder and co-host, Dr. John Palmer. We thank everyone for your contributions to help keep Dr. Palmer's legacy alive and to keep the radio show going. Every penny of your contribution is tax deductible and will go strictly to paying the radio station so that we can continue with Dr. John Palmer's legacy. He will rise live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. Tony, what do you mean he will rise? What are you telling me? What are you talking about?
He will rise.
Did Jesus die? He's dead? What happened?
He died.
What happened?
Study the scriptures. You know what happened.
No, I don't know. He died?
He died.
Then why do I believe in him now?
Well, you're going to believe in him even more once he rises.
I don't understand. If he's dead, then he's just a man who died 2,000 years ago and he's not God? Is that what you're saying?
He certainly is God.
You sure?
I'm sure. And he will rise.
You got me nervous now.
Don't be nervous, Palmer. That was Dr. John Palmer.
Thank God we have Al Barberino here.
Oh,
he can straighten me out anytime.
Oh, you're so lucky.
And you notice, Al, I didn't talk over your song, did I?
No, he's talking over you, Al.
Both of you.
I want you to know it's not me. It's him. I never want to talk over your song.
And you're Anthony what?
And I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and you're... What's your name again?
Palmer.
Oh, Dr. John Palmer.
The Doubter. Dr. Doubter.
Dr. Doubter,
that's my new name.
Not at all.
Is Jesus really dead, Al?
No. He has a big surprise for you.
Really?
Just sit tight.
I let it out of the bag.
Sit tight.
What's the big surprise?
He's going to tell you actually in this next hymn that you're going to play.
Are we going to play a hymn?
Oh, beautiful one.
Wow. Yeah. I guess we're going to play a hymn.
Listen, Jesus speaks to us.
So listen, grumpy disciple, that means you have to keep quiet and listen to
the
song.
No, I'm not going to keep quiet. He's not alive anymore? Oh, man, what am I going to do?
This is the very essence of Lent, Jesus dying for us and rising for us.
He rose?
Jesus speaks.
Drive the nails in my hand, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me.
What a beautiful song. Oh, and it's funny how it fit with the opening to the program. Isn't that funny? And we didn't talk about it.
And we didn't plan it. We didn't plan talk about it.
That's when we leave room for the Holy Spirit to come in.
Yes. And you know what? He always comes into the show. Always comes in. Who sings that song, Al? Who's singing
what?
That song?
Oh, I don't know. Very, very famous man. You know,
we really should
the
introduce
words of Christ.
You. We should
Amazing.
Introduce you properly.
Yes.
Al Barbarino is a devoted servant of Mary and through Mary, Jesus. And from his experience in Medjugorje, he just came alive that Jesus rose again in you, Al. And now he gives missions in churches. He's been in over 80 parishes in our diocese, and this weekend, for those who would like to go to a wonderful mission, Al will be at St. Raymond.
My parish, Divine Mercy Weekend.
In Lynbrook.
Yeah.
East Rockaway.
Yeah. East Rockaway, yeah.
East Rockaway, yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he's also a very dear friend of ours. He sings the theme song every week.
Do we have a theme song? Two guys
the one that,
talk
the
over
one
that
you
song.
Talk over all the time, and it's Al. I want you to know it's Palmer. It's not me. It's always Palmer. And we love the guy dearly. We really do.
Love
and
you guys, way, too. You know
But
that.
He not only does parish missions in 80 parishes in the diocese, but this guy goes to Ireland. He goes throughout the world, and he does dynamic missions.
I understand when you travel to another country, if you don't do well, they don't pay your way back. Is that true?
No, they can't wait to get rid of me. Send this guy back.
Al, no, it's rise really, really again. Great. He will rise again. There are so many listeners who don't believe that, and that's what I was kind of portraying at the beginning.
Yeah.
They said what is in that song. You can bury me. But sooner or later, you're going to find out I am the one. Beautiful words in that song.
Amen.
Is this what you talk about in your missions?
Well, if it were not for this, John, in all honesty, we'd have nothing. Nothing really to live for. You're not going to...
Foundation of our
Padre
religion.
Pio said, you know, like our dear friend Anthony Fumina reminds us as well. You know, when St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope. And don't worry. If we have no Jesus in our lives, there is no hope. I mean, that's what we're all about.
We don't have Jesus. Who do we have?
Exactly. No hope, no light, nothing. So these words that Jesus is speaking in this hymn, you know, like, I'll rise again. You know, like, everything that our Lord ever said was always most simplistic. And I always say the simplicity words are those that are most profound. And he's reassuring us not to worry. You know, even though we don't understand a lot of things, we don't understand why he was born in a stable. We really don't understand why he was nailed to that cross. You know, when you stand back and look at the entire picture, you can get a real sense of it, yes. But his ways are not ours. So we judge by human standards. We judge by our mortal standards, you know, in this worldly earth that we're on. But that's not his. We're not citizens of this earth. We're citizens of heaven, seeking first.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about.
And the biggest thing that people don't understand is, if he's God, why didn't he come to this earth as a gallant warrior on a white horse and so flamboyant? Why did he come into this earth so humble and meek and so loving? I mean, they just don't.
Well, maybe he just doesn't understand us. You know, what's the matter with him? He just doesn't get it that we don't understand him, you know? Or maybe he doesn't understand us.
Maybe, but
well,
I think...
you know, I have my own little personal take on that.
Good.
Which I think is very true. This, you know, just by that statement that both of you made, again, we're judging by our worldly standards, by our perceptions, by what we think it would be. But our Lord is saying to us, don't worry about what trials and tribulations you're going through right here on this earth. the bigger and better is yet to come. That is life eternal. You know, like as it says, you know, like life here on earth is but a speck of sand in comparison to that of the eternity. You know, so that's who we are, and that's what he is saying. Don't worry. I'm always with you. I will never leave you. And all these words of comfort, and so often we hear it a million times, but we're not listening. We're not listening. We just hear the words like wind going through our ears and, you know, again, out, in and out. But we're not listening and responding to the way we're supposed to.
But, you know, it's hard. When you're going through terrible trials, the words are fine.
Yeah.
But you say right out, "Where are you, Jesus? You said you're going to get me through this." And he does. He comes alive in us. My take, my own personal belief, Jesus is not a concept. He's a person, a divine person who will help you, take your hand and carry you through the trials. And you say, "Yeah, John, sure. How do you know that?" Well, I've experienced it. And that's what St. Teresa of Avila says. If you haven't experienced his presence, you can't explain it to anyone. You have to experience it. You've got to let go.
Yeah.
Well, you have to really not only let go, you have to surrender. You have to surrender to his love. You have to surrender to his will. And you have to surrender.
That's what let go means.
Well, it's deeper. Deeper. Surrendering is deeper. It's giving yourself in whole and body and soul to Jesus.
Exactly.
That's my definition of let go.
You're only a psychiatrist.
But you know something? It's really amazing because, as I said before, like we hear, but we're not really listening. When Jesus told St. Faustina, Sister Faustina at the time, you know, like, "Tell the people to trust in me." The message of divine mercy, he wants us to totally trust in him. You know, not partially, not 90%. He wants 100% total trust in him. And when we do that, when he said, you know, like, "I'm always with you, I'll never leave you," how is he always with us? In the Eucharist. We have more troubles, we have more crosses, we have more pains. Frequent the Eucharist, frequent the Masses, frequent the sacraments. This is how we can get closer to him. That's what he's saying.
Absolutely.
And, you know, like, in Divine Mercy next week, he's calling us for total commitment, as you say, John, totally let go. God.
Yeah.
As you say, and just call you Aunt. Anthony,
I am
Tony. You know, total surrender. Give it all to him. And when we do that, just as you said with St. Teresa, as St. Paul said too, when you experience Jesus, you no longer see through the same eyes.
Right.
So this is what it's about. And, you know, there's a particular hymn that's there. I mean, if you'd like to introduce it, the notation.
This is the Al Barbarino show.
No,
you go right ahead, Al. Atta
boy, John.
Right.
See, John surrendered. He surrendered to you, Al. Out of way, John.
Oh, I love the humility.
You know, a lot of people would be saints if they weren't so proud of their humility.
Words of wisdom.
I love it.
Al, what's the song?
Okay, this is "Here I Am, My Lord." And as you listen to it, it's true of all of us. And we go before our Lord in total trust, giving him everything and anything, all of our sufferings and what have you.
Here I am, my Lord. Here I am once more, falling down on my knees, stumbling at your door. I need to let you know, I need to hear you say, "Go rise above all." Brings me down each day. If not for you, there'd be no sense in anything.
song I sing, and every note I play. Without your love, I'd be blind past my humanness. Lord, everything that I possess, you help me find the way. Sometimes I feel so tired, the road ahead so long, that's when I call your name, and suddenly I'm strong. Without your love, I'd be lost in my woundedness that beats so loud inside my breast. I'd never make it
listeners may not know what happens when you surrender. You know, I don't know what happens in your lives, but I know what happens in mine. I'll give you something very simple. I have a very busy schedule, and I'm very tired, and very old, and
I'm grumpy, old.
And I move along.
Too.
And some days I use those words in that song. I just can't do it, Lord, anymore. I've had it. And you know what happens? One or two clients call and cancel, and I get a chance to get a nap.
And he says, yay, yippee!
What if that's not God
responding
to our call? I bet you've had that.
Oh, I have it all the time.
Why don't you share something with the listeners?
About
how God answered your prayer when you were all upset.
Well, you want to know the truth? I'm very demanding on Jesus. I'm very demanding on God. I ask for a lot of stuff. I really do. And sometimes
he says that a lot,
and
too.
sometimes I even feel...
But he wants you to.
Yes.
That's right.
He wants you to.
And you know what?
Total dependency.
You know what? He always comes through for me. And when
can you give one example for the listeners? A simple one?
Yeah. I'm tired like you, and I worry like everyone worries, and there are times
I never worry.
I say to Jesus, "Jesus, when am I going to stop? When am I going to get a rest? I don't want people to hate me. I want people to like me. When will I get a rest?
Now you're asking for a miracle.
And then I find that I have a night with nothing to do that I could spend with my wife.
Yeah.
Just suddenly. I mean, and then I say, oh my, thank you, Jesus. I got a night, nothing to do that I could spend with my wife, Joan.
And I hear her petition afterwards. Please keep him busy.
Please keep him busy. But you know what? Yeah. Jesus is very good, and he's really my best friend, and I depend on him solely, wholly.
But you know, that's such a practical example for people who don't understand when you say surrender. It's in the simplest things you surrender. I'm sure, Al, you've had an experience like that.
I like
the way I put you on the spot.
No, it's a very, very interesting point you make. And I think what happens very often, listen, we've all been there. We've all been in our valleys many, many times over. And one thing that I usually mention during parish mission retreats, I don't have all the answers. No one of us has all the answers. We all learn from each other. And I tell the people this. The most important thing we can do is stay focused on the cross. The most important thing we can do is to share the day with God. So what I tell the people in the parishes, and I listen to myself as I'm speaking too, believe me, everything and anything I do in the course of the day, I give it to God. And that becomes a prayer, and that helps me stay focused on everything. And I use a silly example, but it's the truth. And I mean, you know, a very Italian kind of thing. I shouldn't get up from this chair, you know. But it's the truth.
I'll say even, that's Italian.
even when I shoveled snow, I rather use the shovel than, you know, like that snowblower knocks me out. When I shovel the snow, I pick up the shovel with the snow and I say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And it becomes a prayer. It really does.
And it makes it easier.
And I swear, John, it's amazing. I don't even feel tired doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So it becomes a prayer. So that's that. It's a whole mindset that you really have to evolve into, perhaps. You know, coming closer, the element of trust.
Yes.
Surrender, everything.
But Jesus tells us in Matthew, I think it's 8, to give him our burdens, and he will carry it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we all should be doing. And that's what you do. That's what I do in this very simplistic way. And John does it in a simplistic way. How am I going to get through this? Oh, I don't know how I can do it. Just get me through this, Jesus. And you know what? You blink your eyes, and you're through it.
And every listener has that situation.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah.
And he'll come. And he'll come.
Stumbling at his door.
By the way, that song was so beautiful. Who sings that song?
Well, actually, it was written by...
No.
Who sings that song?
You know who sings it.
Yes, I know. Both of them were sung. He wouldn't fall for it, but both of them were sung by my dear friend, Al Barbarino.
Yeah.
But, anyone is really saying, well, how do I know Jesus has risen? Those moments when he touches you, when you surrender, in very simple ways, he lets you know he's alive.
Yes.
Yes. And you know something? You have to know when you're falling down. And like, believe me, there were times where Marianne and I, just like anybody else, you know, like we go through certain things and we just feel, Marianne, my wife, you know that, feel so overwhelmed, and there are those instances where we actually sit down and literally pray together for whatever that situation or circumstance may be, and it's a surrender.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's again a surrender, you know. And so these are vitally important things, because that's what helps bring you back in that comfort zone.
Now,
which we all need.
I know you've surrendered, and you've made yourself an evangelist through music and through talking, and you're spreading the word. When did you first start getting this Holy Spirit to bring yourself closer to Jesus and to surrender completely to him and to do his work evangelizing? How did this all come about? You were a teacher. I know you. I know you were an art teacher. I spoke to your students. They loved you.
Well, it goes back from day one, actually, you know, from childhood, how you were raised, you know, and church was the hub of our lives. You know, we had very little in life, and materialistic stuff. We were poor and we didn't even know it, but that was okay because everybody else around you was poor too. So it was great, you know, and truly the center and focus of our lives was the church. We would get excited about every and any church event that was going on, whether it was in the church or affiliated with the bazaar or whatever it may be, but was always church-centered. And so we prayed a lot too, you know, like my brother Santo and I, you know, like we were altar boys together, and my sister was also in the choir with us at All Saints in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And so church was very much a part of our lives. And I mean, even when we were youngsters, and my sister would wash dishes, and my brother and I would dry the dish. We were very well trained, you know. But we sang religious, we sang the church hymns in harmony. You know, that was it. That was our lives. And as a result, you know, the tree was nurtured, the plant was nurtured. And that's what's missing these days, big time. There's no one really nurturing the plant. So thank God that we lived in that family atmosphere and world at the time where God was prevalent in everyone's lives.
And I worry about and people then, who don't even know that there is a plant.
Yeah.
Amen, John. We just pray that God, and He will, He blows them away.
Yes.
Like no atheist in a foxhole. He'll blow them away with some life-threatening concern.
Yeah.
And when that happens, all this gibberish about all these other things go away, and you said, God, help me. Father Bob McGuire was working with a couple that was having a lot of trouble. So he said to both of them, before you go to sleep at night, hold hands and say the Our Father. And he tells the story. One night, they had a terrible blowout, real fight. And they were in bed, and she was facing the window, and he was facing the bathroom. And they were nowhere together. And she said, oh, Father said we should pray. So he said, all right. So he said, God. And she said, help us. And they started to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, just for that. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And that's how it's so simple, like you and your wife praying over something, and you and Joni praying over things. Mm-hmm. You know? Isn't that an unbelievable story?
Yes.
It really is. Absolutely is.
Wow. It's powerful.
Do you have another song?
It really is.
See, we can go off on tangents on all these songs, because it's all the same.
By the way, let's get it straight. All these songs are sung by Al Barbarino.
Sure.
And thank you.
You know what?
Okay.
And the point that I'm trying to bring up is that when Al sings, to me, it's like coming down from heaven. I don't know why, but I said that from day one when I heard him. When I hear him singing, it's like it's not coming horizontally. It's coming down from heaven into our ears.
Mm-hmm. But you told me you're tone deaf, is that?
I am tone deaf. I am. But I actually fell in love with Al singing the first day I heard him sing.
At St. Catherine?
No, at your church, at St. Francis, and at the funeral mass of my sister-in-law.
Oh, is that right?
And that was like 12, 14 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it touched my heart. It really did.
Oh, thank you. All right.
But I want the people to know that these songs are coming from heaven, and they're coming out of Al's mouth. That's what I want
to hear. Well, thank you. When you asked about the first song, who's singing it?
I know, you were flabbergasted.
No, but I really wanted you to know that obviously Jesus is singing the song. It's his words.
Well, that's not
good point. Only through me.
Yes.
But if you two want to get a room, just let me know. I'd be glad to set it up for you.
I love the guy. I say it every week.
What's the next song?
The same thing. This next song is a very... they're all beautiful ones. You know, like St. Augustine, when you sing, you pray twice. My brother, Santo, who
died
in August. It was just 7 months the other day, August 27th. He, every time I would record a new album, he would make it a point to write one or two songs. beautiful hymns. And this one was a very magnificent one. He wrote really phenomenal pieces. But this one is on one of the earlier albums he speaks, and I included it again on the last one, In God We Trust. And it's entitled, Did You Call My Name? And it's really beautiful because, again, Jesus is speaking to us in his gentleness, his sensitivity, and love, reminding us that he's always with us.
Did you call my name? I'm your friend. Don't be frightened. Must you touch my wounds to believe in me? I will take your let your burdens be lightened. I will hold your hand when you cannot see. And the cross you bear is a gift we can share. Someone helped me with mine. I'll do the same for you. Let my body and blood fill your heart with love. Love so pure, everlasting and true. Did you feed my poor? Have you sheltered my homeless? Have my lonely ones ever called you friend? And the hopeless, bring my name to them so their lives will mend. When you call out my name, it's my love you proclaim. Your soul, when I stretch my arms apart, as you go on your way, live the words I say, and share the love that I place within your heart.
I just in listening to that song, it just fits so spectacularly.
Yeah.
That Jesus is with us. And I know you were very touched by the words of the song because your brother wrote it. But he's basically saying in the song, he's had the same experience you've had, Tony had, I've had, that Trevor's had, that so many have had, millions all over the world. When I was at the beginning of the show saying, you know, he died 2,000 years ago. Why are people still following him, because he's letting him know, he's calling their names and saying, hey, look over here, just glance my way.
Here I am.
Yeah. His ways, not our ways.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, and it's like you were helped by him through the loss of your brother.
Mm-hmm.
I was helped by him through the loss of my son last year.
Yeah.
My oldest son.
Absolutely.
And for 1 month, because I pray in the morning, for 1 month, he gave me words of consolation. And the only reason why I go over that word, St. Ignatius Loyola says, you know, we are a combination of consolation and desolation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when we're in consolation, we go to God and we pray all the time. And when we're in desolation, we let all that negative stuff take over. And what St. Ignatius said, the trick to being close to God is when you're in desolation, go to him as if you're in consolation, and the desolation won't last that long. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? So what you do when you're feeling close, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Until the feelings go away, because I maintain, as a psychologist, we think, we feel, and we act. If we think garbage, we feel garbage, and we act garbage. So the trick is, what Ignatius is saying, think heaven, feel heaven, and be in heaven.
Yeah.
And you can change it. You have free will, and you can change what you think.
That's the key.
Right.
That is precisely the key, and that's why when I mentioned before, one driving point I really try bringing to people, I mean, even in just common day discussion or even parish missions, is the fact that when Jesus says, I am always with you, and when we receive him, I mean, when we receive him in the Eucharist, you cannot, no one can come any closer to our Lord than when we receive him in the Eucharist. And that's when he dwells in us and we in him, we become one. So that's what he's saying. I am always with you. And you bring up the element of free will. Of course, when Jesus walked the earth, you're like, we are such rare animals, you know, like the human species. You know, like we get very uptight about of people. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? When Jesus walked the earth, he didn't go up to people and say, do you know who's talking to you?
No.
Do you know who I am?
He's
no.
He's too humble.
He just said what he had to say. As I always say, everyone hears the same thing. Everyone responds differently. That's what does Our Lady say in Medjugorje in her messages? Thank you for responding to my call.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it is. We are free will people, and everyone, you know, we hear it, we digest it, and then what do we do with it?
Well, we ignore it, but sometimes you have to fight to get and freely choose Jesus. Look at the woman who was bleeding.
Amen.
And she fought her way through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed.
But that's having faith. That's believing.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe, but he's ever so gentle.
Yeah.
He's just standing there waiting for us to take him into our hearts.
Yeah. And the year of faith, as our Pope Emeritus, Benedict has proclaimed, the year of faith. You know, like, he wants the people to really wake up and know. When you say, I'm a Presbyterian, when you say I'm a Methodist, when you say I'm a Catholic, when we say we're Catholic, do we know who we are saying we are?
Yes. Now look, let me put it down in simple terms.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be our best friend, period. And isn't that so awesome that our best friend's father is the creator of the universe?
Yes.
So it's a no-brainer. Yeah, yeah. Jesus, please, be my best friend.
Yeah.
I need you.
You know what it was like for me? When I was a kid, I think we all had imaginary friends. Well, I was 9 when my father died, and 3 months later, my baby sister died.
Wow.
And my mother was left to raise 5 kids with no money. And, you know, so I had an imaginary friend with Jesus or God the Father. I made him my imaginary friend. And later on in life, my imaginary friend became real.
That's right.
And he walks with me. And simple ways, simple ways. Tony, I know you're an advocate of Scripture.
Yes,
doesn't
I am.
Doesn't he lead you by Scripture?
He leads me constantly by Scripture.
Did you get anything to this morning? Open your book.
Yes, I did get something this morning.
Go ahead.
And I'll tell you what I got. What I got this morning. I have risen is what I got. And that's why I opened the program with that.
Right.
You want to get something else?
Well, whatever. But yeah, see, what we're talking about is answering that idiot at the beginning of the program who said, I heard Jesus is dead. He's not.
And we're giving examples. I love that guy. No, he's not really an idiot. I like that guy.
We're getting examples of how
you don't know who said that.
I don't know who said that. I didn't sing it. I know that.
All right, I opened up. I got Matthew, which I quoted before. And this was my first opening. Jesus said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Mm.
And we spoke about that. Didn't Jesus forgive the woman at the well and said, go sin no more?
But he does that today. That was in Scripture, but he does that today.
Absolutely.
When people go to the sacrament of reconciliation or when they're in desolation and they're upset, people have had abortions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he'll come and say, I don't condemn you. I forgive you because I know your heart is torn apart, but go and sin no more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's always like these little simple things that we hear, and as I say, we hear them, but we're not listening. Again, with divine mercy, what did Jesus say to Sister Faustina?
Right.
He said, tell the people to trust in me and tell them that my mercy is greater than all of the combined sins of the world. And we know in Scripture as well, there is more rejoicing in heaven when that one lost sheep is returned. So we hear this, but are we listening? And for those of us who have separated, you know, like ourselves from the church, are we hearing what Jesus said? Are we responding to that?
He's calling them by name.
Absolutely. I mean, the frustration that he must experience is just the same as when we as a parent or a grandparent, if you direct your child, your son, your daughter to do something for their, not for our best interest, but for their best interest, and they don't listen, how frustrated do we get? And look at this world that we've seen, as Pope Benedict has said, we're drowning in aggressive secularism. You know, so this is, God wants us all back to him big time.
And saints listen, don't they?
Oh, they absolutely do. And you know,
what saint do you have?
I'm going to have St. John the Apostle today.
Oh, he's my favorite.
Is he your favorite?
Yeah.
Well, what's with St. John the Apostle?
He's the only apostle that wasn't martyred.
He was the only apostle that wasn't martyred, but he was the only apostle that didn't forsake Jesus when he was going through his tribulations. He stood by the cross, at the foot of the cross, with the Blessed Mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, and in return, Jesus, at the moment of his death, turned his mother over to St. John for him to care for her.
Right.
So what's the story with St. John? He was selected by Jesus as one of the first apostles with his brother James. And they followed him. And they followed him loyally with the other 12 apostles. And at the time of the final meal, Jesus said to James and to John, I want you to go and get everything ready for the Passover meal. He actually said it to Peter and to John. Where do you want us to go? They said. And he says, I want you to go in an upper room and prepare that upper room for the final meal. And for 3 years, Jesus and his disciples, including the 12 he had specifically chosen, had been going around Galilee. Now they had come to Jerusalem to be there for the Passover festival, what Jesus was talking about, when the Jews have a special meal to remember their escape from slavery in Egypt with the help of Moses. But although They were spending the week leading up to Passover in the city that they were staying with friends in a village named Bethlehem, a few miles outside of Jerusalem. As you go into the city, he said, you'll meet a young man carrying the water jar. Follow him to the house he goes where he goes into. He'll show you an upstairs room where you can get everything ready. And that's exactly what happened on Thanksgiving evening, on Thursday evening. Jesus and the 12 disciples met.
It is Thanksgiving evening,
it
too.
It is. Actually is. That was a slip, but that was
a perfect one.
That was a perfect one.
That was good.
And that upstairs room for what was to be the Last Supper. Nearest to him was John.
Eucharist.
John, along with his brother James, was among the first of disciples Jesus chose. And the two of them, together with Peter, seemed to have been especially close to Jesus. Not only did Jesus ask John and Peter to do special jobs like finding the upper room, but he took the three of them with him on other special occasions. Once a man named Jairus had come to Jesus and asked him to cure his daughter, who was seriously ill. By the time Jesus and his followers got to the house, they were told that the girl had died. Jesus reassured everyone that she was only sleeping. The crowd that had gathered didn't believe him. He chose just three disciples to go with him into the girl's room, where he woke her from the deep sleep she was in. Those three disciples were Peter, James, and John. Another time, Jesus chose three disciples to go with him up a mountain, where he showed himself to them in all his heavenly glory. Again, the three chosen disciples were Peter, James, and John. Of those three, there seemed to have been something special between John. He was almost certainly the youngest of the 12. He may have been a teenager at the time, and there was a possibility that he was the cousin of Jesus. They could explain why John is described as the disciple Jesus loved in the gospel, according to John. John was incredibly loyal to Jesus. As we said in the beginning, he was the only disciple that stuck by him while he was on the cross. During the night following the Last Supper, together, Jesus was arrested and put on trial before the high priest. John alone appears to have been brave enough to find his way into the courtroom. And on the next day, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the one disciple of the 12 who we know was there was young John. It was John whom Jesus asked to care for his mother. After the Bible says that John had returned to heaven, Jesus had returned to heaven, John and Peter worked together, spreading the message that Jesus had taught. It is said that John lived to be a very old man, and that alone of the 12 apostles was not killed as a martyr, but just died naturally. Many believe he spent his last years in a place called Ephesus, and what is now Turkey. When he got too old to preach and people still came to hear him, he would simply say, "Love one another. That is the Lord's commandment. If you do this, that will be enough." And so that was the story of John and his disciples.
So you can pray to him.
And you can pray to him,
pray
yes.
to him. And you know, you talk about healing. You know, we say, there's another way that we know that Jesus is risen. I have a very current story of something that happened just last week. Tremendous thing.
Okay.
Over at St. Paul's in West Hempstead, they have a shrine where the Blessed Mother wept, supposedly years ago, 50 years ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they have oil that they give out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just regular olive oil that's blessed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine's mother-in-law had heart surgery. And when she was finished with the surgery and recovering, she couldn't speak. And they thought, well, maybe she had a stroke or something else going on. So this friend went to the shrine and picked up the oil. And she said, "I'm going to anoint her." He said, but the family doesn't really believe. Nobody believes. I'm the only one who really believes. So she went to the hospital room where the mother-in-law lay and was unable to speak. And she's there, and everybody's there, and nobody believing. And she said, well, I'm going to anoint my mother-in-law. So she takes the cap off the vial of oil, and the room is filled with the aroma of roses, and the mother speaks.
Mm.
And is that not a way of Jesus convincing those in that room? He's still healing today.
Praise God.
This just happened last week.
Absolutely. It happens every day.
I know.
It happens all the time.
Are any of them standing on the corners?
I don't know. I don't know.
It happens all the time.
Oh,
I don't know.
My God.
But people can say, well, maybe the anesthesia wore off or something like that, but it was a healing.
But isn't our God so great? Isn't our Savior so good?
And look at what he does.
Awesome.
Now, how many examples have we given today where he proves to you and to me and hopefully to listeners that he's alive?
Yeah.
He's alive.
Oh, and he certainly proves it to you.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. From the beginning of the program up until now.
Yeah.
I'd like to just say a little prayer for our listeners.
Yes, let's remember Liz.
Yeah, Liz Castellano went into the hospital and, with heart. I'm going to go over there. I know she told me not to, but I'm going to go anyway.
Okay, I may come too. And let's thank Nick for the cross that he made us.
Yes.
That we have all
and all the petitions.
And
that
all
are
the
here.
Petitions.
And let's say a prayer for a moment.
Praise God.
And Jesus, we know that you're calling our listeners by name, just as Al's brother wrote in that song. You're calling the listeners by name. And listeners, we pray that you put your hands up and say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I want to be your friend. I want to know that you're alive. I don't want to go around sad saying Jesus is dead by the way I live my life. I want to say, wow, Jesus, you're alive. Help me to change my life so that I can understand more and more and more about your love and about the new life that you promise to all who freely choose to invite you into their hearts. And we pray, Lord, for all of our listeners, those who are in desolation, that you give them consolation. That those who are seriously physically ill are healed. We know your way means they come home. But every now and then, for one of our listeners, won't you do it our way and let that person be healed, just like the mother-in-law in the story we just told. And let couples who are fighting learn to say the Our Father, holding hands before the day is out. We just make sure, Lord, that there are no weapons in either hand. But we ask you, Lord, touch the lives of all of our listeners who are in pain. We know so many of them, and so many have sent petitions in. We ask you, Lord, bless them. Bless them. And guys, if you have any, just go to the mic and sing a petition.
Do I have a minute?
Sure.
Okay. Earlier this week, it was necessary for me to take a series of tests, and actually I didn't share this with anybody in my family either. But whenever we go through tests, I just pray and hope everything is okay. So I always have my rosaries with me anyway, and I called on my brother. I said, Santo, I said, listen, hook me up. Just be with me. Make sure that everything goes okay. And I said, I'm going to go take it a step further. If you could just show me a sign, we're all St. Thomas to varying degrees. So, and whether or not, I just leave it, it's total surrender, total trust, total surrender. So, as the one of the nurses there was drawing my blood, she said, my dad lives around the corner from you. And I live on First Street, and her dad lives on Second Street. And she said, actually, we just lost my dad 2 weeks ago. And his name was Santo, too.
Mm. Mm. There's your sign.
I said, whoa, praise God. Look at this. Santo's not too much of a popular name, yeah, obviously. Yeah. And here's her dad living right around the corner, who was at my brother's wake as well. I had no idea who this woman is. But, I mean, so when you do this, you know, like when you said the oil or all the other little things that happen, you know, like, but it's that total trust and total faith.
Absolutely. Amen. And you know what? He never lets us down in one way or another. We may not recognize it, but he's there, and he's there all the time.
Yeah.
And we thank him, by the way, so much, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for blessing our radio ministry that
praise God.
That you had John and I establish, and we give you thanks and praise. And
do you want to tell our listeners
we have some
something?
Breaking news. Yeah, we have a little breaking news going on here. Starting tomorrow, Easter Sunday at 4:30, John and I will be on Telcare. We were interviewed on Good News, the station, and we're going to be on every day starting Easter Sunday at 4:30 and for the whole week. And some days we'll be on twice a week, and that's on channel
2:30 and 9 o'clock at
right
at night.
Tomorrow night we'll be at 4:30.
Yeah,
and it's on channel 29. It's on channel 37, 137.
That's files.
Right, and on channel 296.
Yeah.
So, by the time the week is over, they will be so sick of us.
They'll be so sick of the two grumpy disciples that they may never want to listen to
us again.
They're
going to go around like hell and sing a labare.
And
the last song is the labare.
Glory and praise to God.
No dancing on the table. While
no dancing.
He always jumps on the table, this guy.
Al, it's special that you were here today.
Thank you, Al.
So
we
I consider it a joy.
We ask our listeners
praise God. God bless
rejoice.
You. I love you guys.
Jesus is risen.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise, praise,
what
praise.
Did he say? I've come so that you will have life in abundance. So he wants us to celebrate and be happy people. Alabare. Alabare.
And the second part of that is.
And I know if Techie's listening, because I know she loves this song.
Yeah, she does.
Alabare a mi Señor.
And the second part of his risen is he's coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. And Al, it was a joy and a pleasure to have you.
Always is.
Come back.
Praise God. Thank
God
you so much.
You.
Amen.
Love you.